very neatly upon the lessons learned just presented by my colleague here in regard to the need for partnership, the need for following up on and building accountability structures to the folks that we work with. I'm going to be talking about service coordination, which is a component of what we are doing, one of the many things that we're doing in Burleson County, which we believe enhances the capacity of our community at the county level to take care of its own, enhancing the capacity of the community to help folks gain improved access to services. I have no financial relationships to disclose. To better understand what we're doing, we want to put this in context here. Burleson County is located roughly equidistant between Houston and Austin in the Seven County Brazos Valley area. The Brazos Valley is home to Brazos County, which has the Twin Cities of Bryan College Station, which is sort of the urban center of the area, and I say urban center because we're talking about a total population within the entire seven-county region of roughly 280,000 people. The population of Burleson County in 2007 was roughly 16,500, with a median income of household income of roughly 36,000 a year. Demographically speaking, we're talking about roughly 70% are white non-Hispanics, with 14% African American and roughly 16% Hispanic. Similar to what we've seen elsewhere, roughly 19% of the population falls below the poverty line. About 26% of the population below 18 is below the poverty line, and we're looking at an employment rate of about 3.8% in 2007. That's changing a bit as we have seen some factory closures recently in response to all that's going on within the financial sector, et cetera. Uninsured folks in the area, folks without health insurance, roughly about 20%. We have very strong partnership with the Texas A&M School of Rural Public Health and the Center for Community Health Development, which began in 2002 to pull regional stakeholders together. Those stakeholders at the time were the Brazos Valley Council of Governance, which is roughly a regional governmental structure. The Brazos County Health Department, and the two major hospitals in the area, pulling those stakeholders together to come to agreement to conduct a regional health assessment. That health assessment was conducted in July of 2002, and at that time, or let's say it was conducted in 2002. In July of 2002, that group of stakeholders was expanded to include many other agencies, community-based service providers, state-funded agencies, faith-based organizations, businesses, and others that were invested in seeing a regional approach to enhancing access to health-related services in the region. That body became the Brazos Valley Health Partnership, roughly 40-some-odd agencies and organizations represented there. In 2003, the Brazos Valley Health Partnership set as its goal the improving of access to services in rural counties through the establishment of health resource centers and the expansion of transportation services in rural counties, in the four rural counties that were participating. In September of 2003, facilitated by the Center for Community Health Development, the Brazos Valley Health Partnership received a $2.1 million Healthy Communities Access Program grant, which called for a three-year project to establish these health resource centers in the four counties and to establish leadership structures in these four counties whereby these health resource centers could be administrated as well. These community leadership structures, which took the form of, generally speaking, commissions, which were accountable to the county commissioners' courts in these areas, These commissions also fed back to community leaders information to inform decision making at the county level regarding the development of services. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. In January of 2005, the Burleson County Health Resource Commission was established by the County Commissioners Court. In Burleson County, we have 9 voting members, and we also have 5 ex officio members and an executive director. The mission, reflecting the regional approach, was to improve access at the county level of Burleson County residents to health-related services. In 2003-2004, the implementation of the project carried on with the grant funding that was allocated at this particular county level. And I'll talk a little bit more about what that implementation looked like. But in August of 2006, the grant funding went away. And what often happens when grant funding is terminated, oftentimes services leave as well from rural counties. One of the things that we would like to push is, and we'd like to see more of, is sustainability. In August of 2006, it fell upon the counties to decide how they were going to continue what had begun. In Burleson County, we believe that in part because of the success of the project, but also in part because of the leadership within the county, which bought into and understood what it is we were trying to do and could see the long-term impact of where we were going. In 2006, the Burleson County said, basically, we're going to pull together. The commission took the leadership in pulling together allocations of funding from several different sources, the hospital district, Burleson County. We sought input allocation from the cities, school districts, as well as the local hospital. Through all of that, we're able to get enough funding to sustain without a drop in level of services, which continues to today. Part of that relationship involved the development of a contractual relationship with ICFS to provide the oversight of these health resource centers. The health resource centers themselves are specifically designed to enhance the commission's objectives, or to contribute to the commission's objectives, by serving not only our clients but our partners, our service providers. It's part of the partnership that my colleague had referred to here earlier. We serve the clients who are in need of services by offering information and referral, by offering service coordination or case management, as it might be called, as well as implementing a transportation service that helps transportation-deprived clients get to social and health-related appointments and services. We respond to the needs of our partners, who are the service providers, the educators, the health professionals, the court system, et cetera, who refer to us folks whose needs that cannot be met within those particular settings. And this is a key aspect of what we see as enhancing the capacity of the community to care for itself. We have to have partners that believe and trust in our ability to respond to them and hold us accountable for that response. In the course of the past few years of providing this type of service, we see these types of clients. Essentially, the demographics are very consistent with what we see on the county level, which I've already discussed. Generally, 77% of our folks are at the poverty level or below. 49% where at least one member has a job. 9% of the households we serve have no income of any type, meaning that these folks generally are physically disabled, are dealing with mental health issues, and are generally cared for by family members, although they may be living separately. 22% are retired, living on pensions or Social Security, incomes that are extremely low. 31% are disabled, living on Social Security disability benefits. Another 12% are disabled but unable to obtain Social Security disability benefits. 26% on Medicare, 45% on Medicaid, and you can see the rest. I think one point I will draw to is that 60% of our clients do not have health insurance. So we work to get multiple needs. Folks will come into our health resource center generally with a presenting issue. It could be medical in nature. It could be related to the needs of caring for children. We look beyond that and try to implement an approach that takes into account the need for coordinating multiple services. For us, service coordination is the practice of identifying those services, consolidating them, developing them, and using them, as well as the partnerships that are developed along the way to serve the families and to serve the individuals that are looking for help. And through that process, enhancing the capacity and effectiveness of the service providers that are seeking our partnership in serving the community. In this way, we improve the overall health of the community. We enhance the capacity of the community to care for itself. Service coordination, again, serves more than just the clients and the individuals that are seeking our assistance. It serves as well our partners. We have very strong relationships with the principals, the superintendents of the schools, the hospitals and the clinics, the faith-based community, and the court system, which refers folks that are often needing our help. In short, we serve the community at large. We develop our resources and partnerships. When we go into a community that is not where needs are not being met at a level that they need to be, we're often starting cold, and that just means get in there, start finding out what the clients need, and explore options that are available locally. In that process, we are going to find that there are existing directories that partners have. There may or may not be partners that are already coming together. In some cases, in Burleson County, we did not have an interagency forum that was meeting, so we initiated that ourselves. Throughout this entire process of pulling partners together, we are pushing and gaining support for a one-stop shopping concept, the wraparound concept, the idea that it takes multiple agencies, and again, my colleague had referred to multidisciplinary, multi-sectoral approach to meet the needs of folks that have that are facing complex and difficult issues to resolve. All along the way, we're pushing that concept. One of the things that we have in Burleson County in Texas is a community resource coordination group, which was mandated in 1987 by the state, mandating that state-funded agencies, the Adult Protective Services, Child Protective Services, MHMRs, et cetera, get together and meet on a regular basis to do just that, provide a multi-sectoral approach to difficult cases. In Burleson County, it wasn't functioning, in part because these CRCGs are not held accountable. There is little accountability for CRC for this kind of thing, although it was mandated. It's therefore important at the local level that folks come in and commit to seeing change at the local level. These CRCGs are only as effective as the individual members that are participating in seeing things get done. Therefore, a service coordinator who's coming in and trying to pull things together has to do many things. He has to not only be a case manager, not only be a counselor of sorts, he needs to advocate with his partners for delivery of services. He needs to pull people together, facilitate meetings, be able to speak to groups and lobby and fundraise at the local level as well as the regional level, selling what it is we're trying to do. And sometimes that's a hard sell. I'll talk a little bit more about that. A service coordinator is not a rescuer, is not a therapist, is not a friend. is not responsible for solving clients' problems. We oftentimes have people come into this kind of work thinking that they are the solution. Those folks don't last. Folks need to be able to go home at the end of the day and leave it behind and not feel guilt about a client that may be living in relative discomfort. Understanding that really we're not an emergency relief operation. Emergencies, very, very few emergencies exist. We are guides, we're facilitators, and we're advocates. And we are professionals. One of the things that we need to push here is that service coordination is not done by a high school graduate. If communities want to embrace this sort of approach, you need to embrace it, and understanding that service coordination requires skills that can be gained only through experience and education, and you need to have the right people in the right place. Service coordinators, in doing their jobs, of course, are non-judgmental working with their clients, essentially working towards development of reality-based options and recommendation that promotes the self-reliance of clients. Clients come in, they have unrealistic expectations, as do the folks that are oftentimes referring the folks to you or to us, that the problems can be solved. We help to make clear what is reality in terms of what's available out there, and what the expectations are. We put responsibility on the client to take action and thereby promoting the self-reliance of the client. Of course, service coordination involves documentation, it involves follow-through, follow-up with the clients as well as the referring agency. It involves ongoing development and nurturing of the key partnerships, as well as systematically organizing and analyzing the information and the data that comes in. Service coordination can be done better if a service coordinator is brought in that can write and that is computer literate and that can use spreadsheets and can, as I said before, lobby. A good service coordinator is also developing skills and bringing into the community things like parent education, anger management, etc. What service coordination is not, it is not financial assistance. Particularly in our climate, we need to be careful that we're not promoting a mentality that Health Resource Center is a place to come and get your bills paid. It is not charity. It is not welfare. It is not emergency or humanitarian relief. It is not strictly case management. It involves case management. It does involve some level of counseling and guidance. It may involve all aspects, but when we're delivering these services, we're careful not to pigeonhole ourselves as come here to get help with your utility bill, come here to get help solving a medical problem. We don't just do one particular thing, and we need to be careful not to be pigeonholed. We do bring in partnerships that serve multiple needs out of our resource centers. We identify those needs through use of an assessment tool. We of course make sure that the client understands what expectations are in terms of our process, in terms of our work, in terms of their work. And as I said before, we're looking at solving multiple needs. We do document our recommendations in a written resource access plan that addresses all of the needs that are identified, that gives all of the resources and relevant contact information. This is usually used as well, particularly if we get referrals from the court, to let the court system know what we're recommending and why, and what steps we are going to take to help the client. The resource access plan serves as a reference point by which we can measure progress with our clients, as well as what it is we're doing, as well as the for the Health Resource Center and the Commission. We do want to see follow up with clients for many reasons, and this is oftentimes difficult given we have the number of clients that we have, but it is important that we look at, did the client follow through? Did the agency that he was referred to follow through? Do we need to intervene to see a higher level of responsiveness? In this process, we're demonstrating our commitment to the client. We're demonstrating our commitment to our partners, and that is strengthening that relationship as well. And we are looking at measuring progress towards self-reliance, but also we're looking at evaluating the impact of what we're doing. At the end of the day, all of this work is what we're trying to measure is are we making a difference in improving the capacity of our county to care for itself? We continue, as I said, strong partnership with the Center for Community Health Development through the School of Rural Public Health, which takes some of our data, has analyzed it, and looked at financially how much money did the community put in versus how much did it get back from services that were leveraged from the financial input. What we found was that in 2006 to 2007, roughly $100,000 of community investment resulted in roughly $90,000 in leveraged resources that came into the community. Now, since that time, we think that we're exceeding what we put in financially. We're going to have those numbers hopefully in the next year. But we're always looking at ways to try to measure the impact of our inputs, and that is one way that we're looking at it. Thank you for your time.
Our last presenter is Dr. Timothy Ellett.